presented by TSMC.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Friday, April 26th. Here's what's driving the day. We have a lot of Trump legal news to get to this morning, but I want to start with a couple of quick items related to White House Correspondents' Dinner weekend. First, Politico hosted a big party at the UK Embassy last night. It was good to see many of you there who listened to the show. And if I had to distill the political chatter at our event last night into one piece of new conventional wisdom that I heard over and over again in conversations at the ambassador's home on Massachusetts Avenue, it is this: the strange new respect for Speaker Mike Johnson from the Washington establishment. A lot of people were asking the question that Elena Plott posed recently in that big Atlantic profile: what if Mike Johnson is actually good at this? Of course, this is all driven by Johnson managing to pass the supplemental and, at least for the moment, avoid a motion to vacate. It could all change, but for now, if this were, say, like Newsweek in 1995, the Mike Johnson conventional wisdom watch would definitely get an up arrow. Second, on White House Correspondents' Weekend, we were looking for a unique guest this week on our Playbook Deep Dive podcast, something that was tied to the WHCA dinner. And since this is the time of year when the Washington Hollywood Nexus is celebrated in the Capitol, we asked actor Wagner Moura, the star of the A24 movie Civil War, to come on the show. If you haven't seen Civil War yet, I highly recommend it, though you should be prepared to be a little disturbed after seeing it, especially if you live in Washington. Moura stars in the movie as a Reuters war correspondent on a mission to interview the president. And we had a fascinating conversation about the issues raised by the movie, including the perils of extreme polarization, the state of journalism, and what makes a great political film. Check out that episode of Deep Dive wherever you get your podcasts. Big day yesterday, obviously, in the Supreme Court, which heard arguments about Trump's claim of criminal immunity. And listening into the justices, a lot of legal observers were surprised at what was seen as a victory for Trump. There seems to be a majority on the court for immunizing the president when he's engaged in certain official conduct. And the big debate was where to draw that line. Much of the conduct Trump has been criminally charged with could easily fall outside the bounds of immunity, so it's not a huge celebration that they're looking at drawing that line. He still may be in trouble once it's drawn. But the reason it was a good day for Trump is that the court appears interested in sending the case back to the district level for some fact-finding on this issue, the big issue being basically what counted as official acts versus personal acts. But that could easily delay the case for a long, long time, well past Election Day. And so where the Supreme Court seems to be headed, even if some of the conduct that Trump has been indicted for at the federal level, even if that is not considered to be conduct that a president would be immune from prosecution, it still seems like he has successfully, or at least is headed towards successfully, kicking this case well down the road. And at the end of court yesterday, I spoke to Politico legal reporter Ben Fjord, who broke down what happened and previewed what's next up today. Hey, Ben. So we are catching you at the courthouse before you leave. Is that right?
Yeah, I'm sitting here in the hallway of the second floor in Manhattan Supreme Court.
All right. So big day, another day with a former chairman of AMI, David Pecker, on the stand all day. Let's start just broadly with what you thought were the biggest, most important pieces of evidence from his testimony during direct from prosecutors.
Yeah, so I thought the prosecutors probably scored some points introducing evidence of a non-prosecution agreement that Pecker and American Media Inc. had entered into with federal prosecutors in 2018. And they basically showed that American Media Inc. and Pecker admitted to committing campaign violations for paying Karen McDougal this hush money payment. So the jury getting to see that is essentially the prosecutor showing that this sort of conspiracy between Cohen, the Trump campaign, and Pecker very well existed. And AMI and Pecker later admitted that they did this and broke the law.
Got it. So that is really important because everyone's talking about what law Trump may have violated. And here, Pecker admitted to violating campaign finance laws Is it relevant to that part of the case? In other words, is it suggestive that if this guy copped to breaking these laws, that Trump also may have done so, or are they totally separate?
So I think it's suggestive of this wider conspiracy that the prosecutors have alleged that Trump is not charged with, but they have to show that this conspiracy existed because Trump is charged with falsifying business records in commission of another crime.
Got it. And this is that crime in terms of the crime that everyone's, you know, I see a lot of people asking, what's the crime? What's the crime? What makes this a felony? This is it.
This is certainly part of it, showing that this conspiracy existed, that ultimately the prosecutors alleged that when Michael Cohen made this payment to Stormy Daniels and Trump later reimbursed him, he violated a New York State campaign law. So this is just showing that this conspiracy existed.
Got it. Pecker, under direct examination, also said that he was buying stories to protect the Trump campaign rather than protecting Trump's family from finding out about these salacious stories. How important is that?
I think it certainly could undermine a defense point where they allege that this wasn't a campaign tactic. This was just, you know, Donald Trump trying to protect his good name, protect Melania from these rumors. And Pecker said, you know, quote, I thought it was for the campaign. That was his understanding of why he was doing this.
And then, Ben, for the first time, we saw Donald Trump's defense attorney cross-examining one of the witnesses, obviously Pecker in this case. What did we learn from that? Did we learn anything about the defense's strategy, and or did you find the cross-examination, did it successfully poke any holes in Pecker as a credible witness?
They said in their opening statement earlier this week that their allegation is that this sort of arrangement that Pecker would have with, you know, celebrities like Arnold Schwarzenegger, where he would buy negative stories and promote positive ones, is just sort of like an everyday occurrence in the media. And ML Bove, Trump's defense attorney, successfully pointed to multiple examples of Pecker doing this throughout his career. In the 1990s, when he worked for Premier Magazine, he buried a story about a businessman who had invested in Planet Hollywood restaurants. He used the Arnold Schwarzenegger example. He used an example of Rahm Emanuel, where he purchased a negative story about Rahm Emanuel after he had left the Obama White House and spiked it.
Wow. So some big names who we had no idea were going to be a part of this case suddenly showing up out of this testimony.
Yeah, certainly a surprise, I'd say.
And I think Mark Wahlberg was a third. All right, a couple other things. You were in the hallways there when Trump came out and talked to reporters. What was the, if you give us a quick sort of day in Trump press conferences, what was he focused on?
He definitely had talking points lined up when he came out in the morning, and he was zeroed in on the economy, speaking about GDP, Biden economics, as he calls it. And then he also addressed his immunity claim that was before the Supreme Court, and seemed upbeat about both what had occurred in the courtroom with Pecker and also what had occurred in Washington at the Supreme Court.
Interesting. So arguably a better day for Donald Trump on the legal front than his last day in court, given that his argument at the Supreme Court was met with some support from some of the justices, and the cross-examination started to rough up one of the prosecution's witnesses.
Yeah, I think certainly you can make that argument. Yep.
All right. And then what should folks be looking out for on the last day of the trial this week?
So we'll have more cross-examination and then redirect Pecker. And then interestingly, to reporters' annoyance, we don't have a witness list of who the prosecutors are going to call next because the prosecutors have refused to share it with Trump's legal team because they think he'll attack them online. So we don't know who will be next.
Got it. And the last thing is on the decision that Judge Juan Merchan needs to make about what to do on the gag order. Any news on that and any expectation that it will be addressed?
So unclear when Justice Merchan will rule on the pending alleged violations of the gag order. But I believe he did set another contempt hearing next week for additional alleged violations to the gag order.
Yeah, the Bragg's office added four more. All right, Ben, thank you so much for breaking all that down. Really appreciate it.
Thanks so much.
For your schedule today, the Senate and the House are out. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thanks for listening.
TSMC is at the forefront of driving advanced technology forward. At the TSMC North America Technology Symposium, the company highlighted its latest semiconductor process, advanced packaging, and 3D IC stacking technologies, all designed to power the AI revolution. The showcase technologies are aimed at improving system performance, reducing power consumption, and optimizing design space, all of which are crucial for those working on groundbreaking technological innovations.